So from the perspective of the ancient traditions and the understandings that we've gleaned as we've recovered the origins of some of our most cherished traditions, in the 20th century, this newly recognized form of energy that the experiments describe, this field of information that connects all of creation, scientists are beginning to look at this field as a tightly woven web. They're actually visualizing this and describing this as a tightly woven web that makes up what they call the fabric of creation. This field of energy, it's the stuff. It's in between the nothing. It's the precursor to everything we understand in our lives. When we look at an image of an atom and the model that we use with the nucleus in the center and the first electron orbiting, and it looks like there's a large empty space in between that nucleus and that first electron, in the place where it looks like nothing, this field of energy exists. We look into the vastness of the cosmos and we see immense distances between stars and galaxies and we think nothing is there. This field of energy appears to be precisely the stuff that fills up that space. When we speak of a field of energy that links all of creation, the idea itself, conceptually, that all matter is connected through this net or a web, actually may not be as new as it would sound to some people today. 100 years ago, in the late 1800s, this is an amazing time in the history of the world. Think about the names of the scientists and the researchers that were born during the late 1800s whose discoveries have played such a key role in our lives today. Names like Planck and Bohr and Einstein. These are the men that created the foundation of so many of the understandings that we have today. And they lived during a time when the idea that all matter is connected was actually very much in vogue, although there was a lot of controversy about precisely what this connection looked like. The idea that all matter connected through a net or a web of energy existed was very popular during late 1800s, and at that time it was given a name, and this is a name if you use in circles of science and physics today, they may laugh you right out of the room. It was actually called the ether, E-T-H-E-R, the ether field. It's a very controversial field. There were schools of scientists that believed that all of creation is linked through an ether field, and there were others that did not. And to put the whole matter to rest, a very famous experiment was conducted in 1887, a little over 100 years ago. And this experiment had such profound implications that it has affected science and engineering and the way we view our lives up until this very moment today. In our textbooks, in the textbooks of your children in school, the way I studied science and physics when I was in high school and college are based in the results of an experiment that was conducted in 1887. It's the very famous Michelson-Morley experiment. The object of this experiment was to prove once and for all whether or not this field that is called the ether actually exists. Allow me to just explain the experiment to you in this way. If everyone listening to this program, if we were all in a room together, and at the same moment in time, we left the room and went out into nature, into the outdoors. And we all moistened our index fingers, and we held them above our head. And in the moment that we held our moistened fingers above our head, if we felt no wind against our fingers and concluded from that, that no air existed around us. That is the equivalent of the Michelson-Morley experiment. They believed that if this ether field, this web that links all of creation, if it's really there, that it should be moving and we should be able to detect its movement. So they designed an experiment to detect the movement. I believe it was a good experiment. In theory, I believe it was probably poorly interpreted during its time. And because they felt no movement in the wind, they concluded the field did not exist. And from the results of that experiment in 1887 up until very, very recently, physics, science, chemistry, geology, biology, the way we view our world, we have based our understanding, as good as it is, we've based our understanding of the world on the idea that nothing is connected on this subtle level, that the events that happen in one place are discrete and independent, have very little effect on what's happening somewhere else. For over 100 years, we have believed that our world is a world of separateness and distinct and individual events that have no effect on one another based upon this experiment. And now all that is about to change. Well, with the recent experiments of the late 20th century, the understanding that there is something out there, that there is a field that exists, this net or this web, is in fact linking the events of our lives and our world in surprising and perhaps very unexpected ways, now we've got to find a new word for the field. We can never call this field the ether field again because of the connotations of the last 100 years. Today, the various scientists and researchers that are acknowledging the existence of this field have given it varying names. There are some that are actually calling this field the mind of God. Stephen Hawking, in his work in the late 1980s, 1990s, made the statement that if we could understand the way physics works, if we can understand these relationships, that we can actually understand the mind of God. Former Apollo astronaut Dr. Edgar Mitchell, when he's describing this relationship in these fields, he calls this nature's mind. And there are other scientists now that are giving this field a very technical sounding name.